Blog Talk Radio. Hello and welcome to Awakenings. Played a little bit more of that for you for a little light for Debbie. Happy day of Thanksgiving. It's the day after Thanksgiving, and hopefully you're still glowing in that grateful glow. I'm Michelle Mache, your host and fellow traveler upon the path of life, integrating the soul and living spirit led, and welcome you all to do the same. It's wonderful to see all of you online as well as in the chat room. And I do hope that your day is unfolding in a way that feels fulfilling for you. Here at Awakenings Radio, we host dialogues and interviews with conscious beings, teachers, authors and musicians, and actually just conscious beings of all walks of life that are awake, awakening, and taking this awakened state into their everyday living. Here we highlight conscious living for conscious lives, and we focus on a timely relaying of essential information, insights, inspiration, and tools for transformation and spiritual unfoldment. Welcome all, and hello to all listening at Cosmic D. It's nice to connect with all of you as well. And those new listeners that emailed me, I do want to just give you a little energetic shout out to say hello and thank you for your emails. It's great to receive them, and it's great just to know how people are being positively impacted by Awakenings programs and people in the Awakenings chat as well. That's part of it too. Listen, every email that I get or message or tweet, people always mention the Sacred Space of Empowerment Room, the chat room. So that is always on people's radar, so to speak. They really do notice the difference in the chat room. I've even gotten some emails that they really felt, they even had some questions answered in the chat room, and that everybody was very nice and was very welcoming and really felt comfortable to connect, and even though they hadn't been there before. And I think that's something that a lot of times people don't realize, is that the chat room, there is a room that's created, an energy, an ambiance in that environment. And then as well as in the whole Awakenings template, if you will, that does radiate out to people. People do notice. People definitely take notice vibrationally as well. So we got some feedback also of the last program of how much people could feel the energy shift. So anyway, I just like to let people, just acknowledge people that have sent emails or tweets and responded. Also, we do have new, those of you that were sending to the old email address, now the emails can go to awakeningsradio@selfandlight.com. And we're just getting some wonderful organization here to just better serve everybody and connect. And so Awakenings Radio, with questions, if you want to sign up for the email list to be on the newsletter as well. And then if you have guest suggestions, that's Awakenings Guest at selfandlight.com. just makes it easier to find. So we do get quite a few people emailing with guest suggestions, and we do take that into account. I can't think of one person we didn't have on that somebody had suggested. So we do really appreciate your suggestions. One of the things, and also if you have questions, just call in at 347-539-5122. And if you have questions in the chat, if you just type in caps, I will see. We'll definitely are going to be tuning in today with your individual guides, higher self, as well as the spiritual hierarchy and oversouls. And we'll see if the hierarchy comes through or not. I never know. It just depends on what the question is and what it entails. And main focus really for today for coming is my little thank you to all of you for being a part of Awakenings and making it what it is and what it's becoming and how it's holding such a wonderful healing space for many, and myself included, because I get to marinate in these wonderful energy. You know, I do attunement, so I attune or align before coming on the program and just open for all that is of the highest vibrational frequency that can be resonant frequency that can be handled and held to come through for all of us. So it's just really wonderful to be able to connect in this way. So as we're just connecting in, more people are coming. I just want to do a bit of an alignment, and I'm just going to ask people just to take a minute and focus on the breath. That way more, I could feel that. There was a lot of different energy, I think people rushing and coming, and I'm sure people have guests over and family, and I could feel a lot of energy kind of wanting to spread out, but now it's come to that center point, which is so wonderful. New people coming in, so I'm going to repeat something, which is a little change with the newsletter. A lot of changes actually coming up. But if you would like to be on the Awakenings newsletter, if you just email awakeningsradio@selfandlight.com. And we are getting it together. I know it's sometimes gone out. We'll be a little more consistent with that, and as well as insights weekly. Part of it is because we are really in this acceleration point and a new level of activation for many. So you're going to see even more people awakening to their gifts and the truth of who they are. And also let me know how you're dealing with this or feeling with this. What's happening a lot of times with this next wave of activation and acceleration is there is an urgency that's coming where people are just literally saying, I don't want to live like this anymore. I can't live like this. I've got to do something different. Or I've got to help people. I've got to do something. So we're really getting people, as many people, and when I say we, it's not just me. It's everyone, meaning all the groups that are doing this, all the pods, so to speak, that are doing this. It's about everyone all over the globe, if you will, respectively at the same time, holding this space. And I just sort of make sure, can everyone hear me? Do I have sound? Do I have sound? Because it says the show is on but not streaming, so just want to make sure. Someone can let me know in the chat room. Well, I must, because no one's saying anything. Okay. So one of the things that oh, great. Tammy's saying I sound great. Thank you for letting me know. I don't know why it's saying what it's saying, but okay. One of the things that is really important in this activation and acceleration time. Activation, you begin to feel your energy patterns differently. You begin to sleep patterns are disruptive. You begin being able to process more information, being able to almost know what someone's going to say or what's the new scenario coming in when you're talking with someone or a situation in your life is unfolding and you know that you're a part of. There's, you know, mental acuity, things start happening, you start noticing that you are, you know, someone told me the other day they started seeing things brighter. That can happen too, that the colors, especially in nature, are brighter. There's a vibrancy to them because you start seeing beyond the pigmentation, you start seeing the light, the electrical, you know, photons. You start seeing the electrical charge that light does emit. And you begin to notice something is different, but perhaps you don't know quite what is different about how you're living, but you notice. And at this point, a lot of times people start wanting to read metaphysical books or mystical books or being drawn to that or just finding out, seeking what's going on with me. You know, again, that could be the first, you know, awakening. But a lot of times the gifts will come with it. And then the acceleration, more gifts, beginning of downloads, or you begin to recognize that there is a part of you that is already encoded with a purpose, a way of living and a way of being. And you begin to feel a subtle energy, which is spirit or the spiritual energy. You begin to feel inspired by that energy. And at this time, you may go into the feeling and begin to speak more from I feel or I sense. It begins to be this inner knowing. And as more of the spiritual energy is released, that is you. It's your energy. It's just releasing it into the ego personality vessel, vehicle. As it's more released on this dimension, you will begin to feel more of an urgency to live more deeply, more profoundly, and to see the beauty, the wonder, the awe in everything and how everything fits together and how everything is all perfect as it is. And also what does begin to happen at this point too is you begin to think, on one level, it's like if nothing really matters or it doesn't really matter because it's all going to be okay anyway. You can see you can begin to get a hint of the mastery of the co-creation that we all are in the game sphere. You begin to see what's being played out and how it came about. You begin to see that, and that's getting that mystical, metaphysical, or spiritual, or cosmic view of the divine perfection, how everything does fit together, and it is evolving, getting more and more and more ideal. And then another part says, but I have to do something. I have to do something about it. And, you know, what should I do? Or, you know, there's more that I need to do. Tammy's put in the chat, I feel like I'm becoming pure energy. Yes. And then can talk about energy management. Absolutely. Good questions here. And we will get to questions on the switchboard in probably about 10, 15 minutes to the bottom of the hour. Yes, you begin to see that you are spiritual energy, love, light, wisdom. It's really, this is why for me there is no opposite to love. A lot of people say the opposite to love is fear. Well, I don't, that's working. If there's an opposite, then you're not rising above. You're not in the vibration of non-duality. You're not focusing on vibration. Because vibration, when you live in the place of vibration or resonance, they're simply waves or levels, you know, like if you look at a flow pattern or flow chart, you know, one part might be thicker and another part might be thinner, but it's still a wave, it's still a pattern of energy. So to me, the only absolute perhaps is love or is God, but then it individuates out or expresses out into diluted forms or different shapes and forms. So really, if you think about it on the spectrum of polarity, hate is really what's the opposite of love, but it's still a variation of love. It still is that energy. So everything to me comes from that space, whether it's eschewed or lessened. There is no differentiation. There is no opposite. So the more that you expand or raise your vibrational frequency, the more you live in an expanded consciousness, undifferentiated consciousness, diffused consciousness, the closer you get to that and living from that space, the less and less opposites you experience, feel, or notice. So there is no opposite in vibration. So when you move out of the dual plane, you move out of the third dimensional reality or game sphere. And they're spheres, and you begin to notice as you get more and more activation and acceleration, you begin to notice that there's different game spheres that you begin to play in, and they have different rules. So one thing I would suggest to everyone is choose the rules you want. Again, we're not able to get rid of all rules of a third dimensional quality because we have a flavoring of that. We have a bit of that still within us. But the more you're choosing from the fourth or fifth and on up dimensional realm, which means the more you're choosing by resonance, more you're choosing by vibrational frequency, the less you experience of the oppositional flow. Okay, so oppositional flow is going to be, this is good, this is bad, I'm good, I'm bad, hot, cold. The more you can focus on the qualities of the energy that you want, the less that you will have that push-pull, okay, of opposites. And, you know, that's why if you're going, you know, if you're focusing more diffused or more connected into the whole, the all that is, you're going to experience more of that. And if you're focused on too much of the mental, I mean, we need to, again, touch in on the mental realm or belief, but you need to go into what is the more that you can go into what you're resonating with or what's the true resonance, what is life enhancing. Think about it. Nature doesn't ask what's good or bad. We only humans do this. If you watch, you know, animal beings, I love them. They're the greatest study because they are us. We're a human being, but animal beings don't ask, is this bad? They don't question. They go towards what is most life-enhancing, even food-wise. You know, if you put cake down or you put, you know, I see with my dog Yoshi, biscuits, even though they're healthy, wheat-free, whatever, they're, you know, organic, this and that, invariably she will go for the chicken, even if it's a chicken, a treat. So whatever is perhaps less diluted. That's the way that, and I'm not saying that it's not good to have stuff that's diluted or, you know, cakes here and there or whatever. It's not about that. It's just what, if you're living, you want to live as close to the undiluted as possible. You want to live as close to the undifferentiated as possible, even if it's only in mindset or awareness that is true or that is available. Because if you're living in this is good, this is bad, this is evil, you know, this is wrong, this is, then you're going to get, it's a different game sphere, okay? And then you're going to enact a different type of living to you. But if you're following the resonance, that can never lead you astray because it's going to be that which fits in to your particular frequency. You know, you're going to find the right group that creates the right symphony for your life that fits in so you don't have as much discordant noise or sound. So really, really important. So in that, because we are energetic beings, we come in as a spiritual energy. We manifest through mental plane, mental energy. We manifest through a physical plane, a physical energy. We manifest through a mental realm, an emotional realm. We manifest on a material plane, the solids. Again, to some degree, that solid is spiritual energy, spiritual in nature. You can't have it both ways. It can't all be God. It can't all be from source or from spirit, except for the car, except for the computer. Although everything that we have, even though it seems inanimate, is fused with spiritual energy, is fused with a consciousness. And even the consciousness of the person or people that created that or made that comes through. Here's a good example. There's two, and I'm going to use social media. Everyone knows of MySpace. Okay, we have MySpace, let's say Facebook, and let's say Twitter. And I know there are other social media networks, Dig and Stumbled Upon, but these are the main ones. Even if you didn't know how, and some of you may in the chat or that are listening to me, you know, in other places may know this already, but some may not. Even if you didn't know the type of people or what the idea was for the conception or inception of these sites, you can tell by the people that are attracted to it and the activities. So MySpace was clearly about that, MySpace. So in this creation of a spiritual intent in physical form of creating this space, MySpace, was a lot for people just to have their own space, their own cool space to connect and hang out. And they were the first ones that had music players. So a lot of musicians got on it. I actually have a place on MySpace that you can get my CDs. And so that's what drew me to it. So it tends to have a lot of musicians or people that work in music or sound, very artistic. It also, you can see it's a little bit junky because the intention, it grew out of something, but they didn't really keep on it. It didn't have like a clear stream. But you'll see mostly musicians are attracted to MySpace. Facebook, it was a bit like a yearbook. So there's a lot of dating. There's a lot of, you know, there's if you go to me, Facebook, you go to it, and it is, even though I'm on there, we're on there as Awakenings Radio, the bulk of it is kind of like a yearbook where people find each other and chit-chat about local stuff and so on and so forth. But it does have a lot to do with a person or the personality of a person, rather their physical appearance or what school did you go to, or, oh, I found you, you know, from college in, you know, 1985, you know, and so now I want to connect in with you. So, or 1995, you were in my class of 1995, and so now I found you. Twitter was just about communication. So you see it attracts a lot of people just wanting to share, have meaningful connections, but it isn't about the person. It's about, it actually, to me, if that's the one that taps in more to in a way that you can just use it for just about anything. So this is what I'm saying. These are different spheres. So you need to, yeah, it is interesting, isn't it, Tammy? You need to, you can look at what's created, your life included, by where you were coming at when you created something or had an intention for something. This is why it's important that we up-level or upshift our creations. We need to be open to that. Otherwise, they no longer reflect the truth of who we are, because where your life is always changing. So some of you may overlap in various spheres. Grandelf is seeing Twitter seems mindless to me. Ah, contraire, Grandelf. No, in fact, I've had amazing connections on Twitter. Twitter, there's really no template. You make it whatever it is. So Twitter, to me, is the one that is most, because it was only created to communicate within a company, and it was simply for communication. And then it became available to the masses. So Twitter is really about, you find that which you resonate to. You know, we had on Wednesday some people that I had met actually through Twitter that are doing amazing healing work through sound and music. Very dialed in individuals. I would say, you know, we attract our consciousness, but because Twitter was only about communication, it really wasn't about connecting in with people from your past, like Facebook. It isn't a yearbook, and MySpace is really about music. So Twitter, you're really going to see what you're attracting. If you want to see what your consciousness is at, really, you're going to see that with Twitter by what you put out there and what you receive. And, of course, it's all over the globe. But it, to me, I just look at that as it's an out-picturing. We call it the stream. It's an out-picturing of where you're at, where you're resonating, and what you want. But any of these can be used for that. It doesn't matter. It's really... I would say, Tammy, Twitter is more transpersonal, definitely, because it has less of, it's just beginning its intention. Its intention was simply only to communicate, to be able to communicate. And it's really an outpicturing of our connectedness. All of social media, it's an outpicturing of our connecting, that we are all one, but yet we have these pods standing out, these little soul groups that we tend to gravitate towards, that we reaffirm them or you know, confirm them, and they confirm us, and those are the people that we want to connect with and collaborate with and share with, you know, our soul tribe or twibe. So now why I'm bringing this up is because when you begin to look more instead of something as good or bad or right or wrong, and you start looking at resonance, you begin to notice what you're attracting. There's going to be some noise because we still, you know, have, you're still going to bump into, you know, spam or whatever, even in your life. You're still going to, you still may have someone cut you off on the road or on the freeway. You still might have someone be nasty to you. It's not that you're not going to attract, it's not that you're never going to attract it, it's how you respond to that. Remember, we don't live just by projection. So not everything that you receive or every experience you have is something about you. It's not all an inner state. How you respond is about you. So if you happen to get some, you know, spam in your life, If you're pushing against it, you know, overreacting, then that's showing something about your inner state. Because we do connect in both in this dimension and beyond with projection and perception. It is possible to live by perception where you're just perceiving what is. That's the mental, that's going beyond the mental realm into more of the meditative state, more of the transpersonal realm. So these spheres that we all live in is going to become more and more important. Whether it doesn't matter if it's online or in person, it's all about consciousness. So I would say, ask yourself, what is coming to me more? Where am I being directed? What kinds of people, what kinds of situations am I being drawn to? What kind of situations are coming to me? You know, sometimes on the outside it may seem like these people or situations aren't great or aren't very evolved, but maybe they're coming to you to learn something. Maybe it's just you. Maybe you don't even have to even get engaged with them, but just hold space for them, just to recognize the truth of who they are within them. But you don't have to necessarily even dialogue. You know, there is a knowing look. You know, I'm thinking about the other day I was driving and there was a homeless guy, and but of the alcoholic in nature, let's just put it that way. So, but he had a sign that was very ingenious, that it said, "My ex-wife had the better lawyer, and that's why he's begging." So I looked at him, and I just really located him and his eyes. I just really saw him, and I said, "That's really a creative sign." And I just smiled at him. And, you know, he didn't even ask me for money because he knew he wasn't going to get any. But I just got him. I just looked at him and said, I just held that space. So even if you're doing that, you know, to hold the space for somebody or just to recognize them, you don't even have to verbalize something. But part of living more from the resonance is to see beyond the way that person is acting. Doesn't mean you have to act with them or engage them or have them in your life, but to see beyond that which they are reflecting in that moment, to see that there's more there. Now, Tammy had asked a little bit ago this energy management. Well, this kind of ties into all this. Because we are energetic beings, we're beings of energy, light, which is a form of energy, love, which is a form of energy, or you can say energy and love are synonymous. the more love you have, the more energy that you feel. And we manage through our emotional body. You have to have a clear emotional body. That's why any kind of emotional clearing work to clear the energy in motion. Otherwise, you don't go into the more expanded realms. You really don't. You can mentally, and you can fool yourself, but you're not really going to expand there vibrationally or get the clearer information if the emotional body is still out of whack, if the filters aren't clear. And the way, because also the way that we expand up into the transpersonal realms, the mystical realms, is through the astral, the etheric body and the astral. And the correspondent to the astral body is the emotional body. So you don't get to the Akashic unless you go through the astral. And to do a clear reading, to have a clear reading of the Akashic, you have to have a clear emotional body. If you're not clear, if your filters aren't clear, then you're going to have not great reading. You're not going to have a great interpretation. In fact, sometimes what I will tell people that I'm working with on a consistent basis, and they're wanting a reading sometimes, and I can see that it's just emotional, I'll even say, you need to do some emotional clearing. Or if you're fine, here's another thing. You have to see if something is about divine right timing. But sometimes we block our timing of manifestation, of having something manifest in our lives, because a pattern is not clear. And I've been working with somebody on this that went in a certain direction with a job, a certain company. And I said, this is replaying your pattern of your family and what you went through with your father. And they didn't listen. They went through this company that seemed like a very big, and was a very, prestigious company. It's been awful. And now they're trying to get out of it. And they said, well, why would I do this, or why am I still here? And I said, because until you clear this pattern, no matter where you go, you're going to attract the same thing. And so that's one thing to know. If you are not living out, if you're finding, again, we all have little hiccups, little snags, but if you're finding in your life that you're unfolding, your unfoldment, your spiritual unfoldment, and living more and more from the soul is not getting you better and better, more and more ideal, whatever that means for you, but everyone knows, if you're stuck more than you're flowing in that overflow, then a pattern is holding you back. And, there's different forms of hypnotherapy, transpersonal, therapy, healing, alpha theta healing or clearing. There's different repatterning techniques. But the basic thing is that what happens, why people need repatterning is that the pattern of your conditioning, your mental constructs of your conditioned ego or the false ego is so strong that what it does is it blocks your soul pattern, your soul template. Sometimes you can see it bumping up against people, like their ego personality. They've been taught by something, or my family wants me to do this, or my dad, or my husband, or my wife. And then you could see they're saying this and they're doing this, but then another part is saying, I always wanted to do this, or another part of them is having them do another activity or follow a different life focus, and the two bump up against each other. Now, if that's happening to you, actually, you're very lucky, because then you can see what's going on. Where it really gets dicey and chancy is when the patterning, the ego conditioning patterning, is so strong that the soul can't even come through. The soul template can't even come through. On this level, on this dimension, on other dimensions or levels, that's not the problem. It's just, are you going to play that bigger game on this level, this dimension? That's the question. Are you going to play with more fullness this life? Or are you going to just stay living only from the ego personality template? See, that's the difference. So it's not so much, it's not that that awareness isn't there, it's just not accessible to you on this level or this dimension. So to manage our energy is to know how, am I being overly mental, but am I connecting in mentally? How is my mental constructs or my belief system? Are my mental constructs holding me down or holding me back? Do they not make sense? You know, is more life expression, is more spiritual expression coming through me with my mental constructs, or are my mental constructs constricting me? Same emotionally. Is there too much drama in my life that I'm not able to experience and express all of me? Am I codependent? Am I overly worried about what others think? Or am I so cut off that I don't care what others think? So that's the energy management. Materially, how are things on the material plane for you? I mean, we did incarnate in this dimension, this level, or this layer of existence to play out materially. So are you playing out materially? You know, physically, how is your physicality? How do you feel about your physicality? How do you feel? Do you need more rest? You know, are you sleeping too much? The foods. You know, do you need to play around with your food, what you're eating? The movement. Are you expressing yourself as a physical being? Whatever that is for you. Are you expressing yourself as a spiritual being? So that is that energy management. Much of what we're doing in meditation is all about energy management. It's learning how to manage your energy, because you're not these parts. You express through these parts. You're not your mind. You express and experience through your mind. You're not your body. You express and experience through your body. So you begin to know this in that state. And it's also connecting in with the archetypal energies, which we're going to do that when we open up a little bit to do some also readings archetypally. Oh, you're welcome, Tammy. That was a great question. I love that, because we really are. Once you kind of live this way as an energetic being and start managing it, then you begin to see, wow, you know, I am expressing in all these different ways. And your soul comes through in a way archetypally. You'll notice in your soul's path, in your unfolding, that you will go through little chunks of experience, right? You'll go through, maybe somebody's going through the orphan where they're learning how to trust and they're integrating that. Maybe a leap of faith as the fool or the magician, that they're making the less ideal more and more ideal, or maybe they're communicating, you know, writing, but are they living magically in their life? So you want to connect in as much as possible, especially as we're in this quickening phase, to the myth of life and magic. I would even suggest, you know, fairy tales, read some myths. I love Women Who Run with the Wolves. Clarissa Pinkola Estes has some amazing stories in there. Also, Awakening the Archetypes Within. There's another great book on fairy tales that I'm not remembering right now that I had in my transpersonal psychology class. But if anybody wants to know, just email me and I will look it up. But we're living more archetypally, because when you live more archetypally, you live by energy patterns and not by specific detailed situations, so that you can live in a way that you realize, whoa, I'm going through this situation right now. Especially as we're, you know, Aquarian age is about, we all are our own guru. You're going to still have, obviously, coaches and teachers and people that, you know, we're coming together as we are today. But once you can recognize what your own initiations, because your higher self and whatever guides or group you're working on collectively will give you these initiations. You will have these initiations. So to be able to recognize them, what is the next call? We call it metaphysically and metaphorically answering the call, and it comes from within. You know, that message, what is the archetype, what is the energy that I'm working with now? What do I need to draw in? Is it the mystic? Is the hermit of studying and going within and perhaps teaching, finding your own inner knowing and listening to that inner knowing, being able to separate out? That's what the hermit, a lot of people think, oh, the hermit means I have to go live on a hill. No, it means to find your own inner knowing, to be able to hear that inner knowing. And when you are able to separate out and develop that inner knowing through the hermit energy, then you don't get caught up in the collective. Or the collective sometimes is our well-meaning friends, or sometimes our family. You know, I had someone the other day, their friends were well-meaning, telling them to go in a certain direction, and I simply told them, I said, well, it's a good thing that you were doing work with me. I said, because what they told you was so codependent that it doesn't even make sense. And after we talked a while, he was like, oh, my God, you're right. And I go, yeah. I mean, you know, sometimes friends don't think, or they just think, oh, God, you know, he really wants to be with someone, or she really wants to be with someone. I'm just going to, you know, push it to that. Or you're hanging out with people that are not healthy in that level. Believe me, I have certain friends that I would not ask an opinion, because I know what they would say. It wouldn't be the most life-enhancing because of their little pitfall. So again, as you're connecting into your own inner knowing, you know this. You know where to go to get the perhaps better information. You know where to go to get the technical information, or you want to buy a computer, you know who to go to for that, or TV, or, you know, you want to learn tarot, you know where to go for that. So you got to know where to go and not set yourself up by going to the source that doesn't really know. And I'll tell you, I had a very expensive link I'll share with you about this. A few years ago, my guides gave me numbers to the lottery. I had five numbers, and four out of the five were right. And I'd never done a lottery. I think it was a local thing. I don't know what it's called, lottery. It was one of those things. I don't know if it's called exactly lottery, but where you get like three or more, better, whatever. So I didn't know, and I held on to the ticket for a while, and I asked a friend of mine. And she said, oh, it doesn't matter. You have to have all of them. So I said, okay. So I didn't – why did I not look? The numbers were there. I saw on TV my numbers. Four numbers came up. When my first book was published, I had, breakfast or something, some kind of with one of the publishers and a couple other people, and they had been playing the lottery and doing stuff. So I told them the story, and they said, oh, my God, Michelle, how much did you win? I said, what do you mean, how much did I win? And they said, wow, you got four. So they told me, and they gave me the website of To Go. Do you know that I had won like $40,000? But guess what? It was past the year, so I didn't get that money. So spirit, my guides, I'd asked for this. I got exactly what I wanted. I got the numbers. I had the vision, had the dream. I won, had the ticket. I went to the wrong person to ask. And when I did jokingly ask, unfortunately, it was like a week. This was the cosmic joke. It was like a few days to a week after the year mark. So there you go. If I'd gone to the right, I should have gone to the website. I should have checked it out. I'd have been $40,000 richer. So whatever, monetarily anyway. But it showed me something. It was a little costly mistake. Well, I'm going to pass on to you. Know who knows, go to the right source for the right information, because you never know if you go to the source that really doesn't know. Just like my little story says, you may not get what you need. And again, that's that inner hermit, that inner guidance that says, maybe, maybe not. Go someplace else. Go somewhere else. Go find that information somewhere else. But again, that's an archetypal process that we all go through. And these initiations, once you start aspiring, it's being called an aspirant on the path. Once you aspire, at some point, the aspirant becomes a disciple, where you have your inner discipline, your spiritual discipline in knowing. And from that discipline and that knowing, you can move into a succession of initiations, where you begin after that to get on what we call the fixed cross, which means that you just live more vertically. You live more with that spiritual energy. You're infused. The soul is aligned. This is the soul alignment. Your soul is aligned. The ego template personality is aligned to the soul to become an extension of the soul, an outpicturing of the soul. And then you live in true service, to true co-creation, to true self-expression. And that anchors that energy in your life and in the planet. And it allows a next level of relating. That's how we basically shift That's how we basically anchor this into the mainstream. So many of you are doing this already, some very consciously, and some it's just happening to you. And some of you are calling this in now. Yeah, that's some of you, it's you're calling it in. So as you call it in, you receive more of it. You receive more of that. And with that comes more choice as well. More, how do you want to live from the soul template? How you want to live is up to you. Where you want to express and experience you is up to you, as long as you're living from that soul's purpose, that original intent to why you came here. Great. So if you have any questions, boy, I know there's been some great questions in the chat. Thank you so much for those. Any questions, just type in the chat, and you can type in caps or not. I can usually see. And then if you have questions on the phone, the call-in number is 347-539-5122. Okay, let's get to some phone lines here. Hello, 413-841, you're on Awakenings.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
My name is Angie. And
Andy?
Angie, A-N-G-I-E.
Angie. Okay, perfect, Angie.
And I'm really relating to a lot of what you're talking about today, so I really appreciate it. I'm glad I tuned in. I don't really know what to ask since this is my first time listening.
Perfect.
So I don't know if I don't know if maybe I should ask what you think is coming up for you, or I do tend to. Well, here we go. I do tend to get into the wrong situations, thinking that they're the correct one, and I do have to work out these things. You can't love you can't leave something until you love it. And I'm actually in that situation right now with the housing situation.
That.
Yeah,
okay.
And it's pretty much one of the very few things that is holding me back, I think, right now. And I'm reluctant, and I have fear. I'm a little afraid of. What's going to be maybe next after this? I'm really intent on not repeating the same situation. I kind of moved to this place to kind of hide out and just regroup myself. Mm-hmm. It's in the middle of nowhere, and I thought that I would be kind of safe in this community that I moved to, and it's not really happening. It's not really the case. And this is something that is in other areas of my life. Like I need to get a part-time job to support myself better. And so finances is a big thing for me, especially right now, and especially if I want to be moving out. And I was wondering what you have to say, about all that. But otherwise, it seems like everything's moving in a really great direction for me, career-wise.
Yeah, one of the things I'm going to suggest with you, that belief that you have to love something before you can leave it.
Okay.
Cancel. Are you willing to give that up? Are you willing to have a different belief?
Yes, definitely.
Okay. Yeah. It is possible to not like something and move on from it and know that this isn't right for you. So what I do see is you've come from a belief where you have to work through something to then leave it, right? Yeah, so I don't know why your phone is going out a little bit. I'm not hearing you as well. And energy is leaving a little bit. So that's keeping you in situations. The thing is if you don't like a situation, you learn from it. Even if you get something from it, you're never gonna like it. You know what I'm saying? If you don't have to, it's almost like a punishment kind of thing to do that. It's almost like the belief that with no pain, no gain, that old belief of working out, no pain, no gain. So I feel you kind of have come from a self-sacrificing realm, even especially in chosen relationships where you've kind of really hung in there. It has to do with your deservability. So the more that you can move into feeling that you deserve to have what you want, the more you're going to attract that. Is that making sense at all?
Yeah, perfect.
Yeah. So let me just scan for a second here. Go ahead.
Oh, I just said right on, right on. Exactly.
The other thing I feel, see, you now, it's interesting, we talked about earlier these two different parts, the polarity. So what I want you to do, you have a part of you that does that wants to disappear, that wants to hide. That's the part that needs some deeper healing, Angie.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
And then you have a part that says, no, I want to be up front. So one part of you wants to be at the end of the last seat in the classroom.
Yeah.
And just kind of slouch in the chair and maybe have a comfy sweater on and, you know, don't pick me, teacher, don't pick me. And another part of you is way in the front, raising the hand, saying, I want to give the speech. Oh, you want someone to teach half the class? I want to teach half the class. So one thing I would like you to do, and then anyone can do this, it's a variation on what we call a parts process, an inner process. What I want you to do is get any, I want you to, some point this today or over the weekend, I want you to write down the different parts that you feel, like, well, how come I want to be with a lot of people, but I really want to be by myself? Or how come I want to be in relationship, but then I want to be by myself? Or how come I want to work, but I don't really want to work? How come I want to make money to get, you know, support myself, but I don't, and I'll do anything that it takes, but yet I don't really want to do anything that it takes. So we all have that part within us, the part that says, I know I need to get a job to make ends meet, and I'll do anything. And sometimes we need to do that. It's called a transitional job. Sometimes you just need to jump in there and take that job, but have a plan to then have later on a job or a vocation or avocation or career that is more fulfilling to you. But I see within you there's these splits, and this is what's causing you from really fully moving forward in a fulfilled way. So the first one I would suggest is sometime over the weekend is write down, you can pick part A, part B. Part A is the part that wants to hide, that needs more healing, that wants to stay at the in the back. That's the part that wanted to live in the where you're living now. So I want you to write that down, and then you have part B that wants to be out there more, that wants to be up front. And you can describe it however you want to on paper, but you've got these two parts. Then I want you to look at the paper and see those two parts, because you're going to list the qualities you're going to these two parts want to do, and then you're going to close your eyes, and as you breathe in, you're going to feel these two parts as energy. And we couldn't even do it right now. So you've got part A and part B. There's that part that wants to hide, needs healing, and it's running away, and it wants to just curl in a little ball, and it needs more time. And you've got part B that wants to get out there and has something to say, and let me move forward, and let me help, and let me share, and I'll help you, and let me tell you. So if you see those two parts as energy, mm-hmm. As you breathe in, you're going to locate them in your mind and feel those two parts more as energy in your body. And as you breathe out, they're just going to begin to blend and merge and harmonize more. And then just in your own mind, you're just going to say, my decisions are now coming from a harmony. So that you're making your decisions now in a way that's more harmonized for you. So that it's not one part and then another part, but both parts are in all decisions. Is this making sense?
Yes, that makes really good sense. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then you're going to have less of the push-pull because, I would suggest for you, make, you know, right here, right now, you know, and into 2010 and beyond, a year where you're taking, even if you don't like one part or you think one part is wrong or right, I want you to move out of right or wrong or liking and disliking. Because each part is relevant, so that you're moving into a space that all your decisions, your focus, is allowing all parts of you more expression. And it's just the parts, what's interesting, is it's only energy anyway. So, you know, if I may have a part that likes to scream, I don't necessarily have to scream, but I need to bring that energy into me. I need to allow that energy to be recognized, and I need to bring that in. So that is one thing that I'm seeing. That's going to help you shift so that when you also, what I feel when you do this, also what you're going to attract in a relationship is not so much of the takers. You're going to get some people that are giving to you. So you could even do this for part A likes to give and part B likes to take. So if you're more balanced inside, that you can be a giver and a taker, and you're making your decisions by being a giver and a taker, you're going to attract people that are givers and takers, instead of, I feel that you've had a lot of takers in your life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The money, see, you're tired. See, the part of it is that healing part of you, I feel you're healing from some deep emotional traumas, and you are getting more recognition. I feel you're recognizing yourself more, you're holding that healing space for yourself. So that part does need to have some downtime. So that part is saying, I really don't want to work. I don't want to overtax myself.
I've been traumatized at work. I've had a difficult working situation recently, and it's hard mm-hmm. It's been hard to put myself out there, but I know I need to do it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you need to do both. Let's see. Let's just even reframe that. So you need to do both. You need to put yourself out there, but you also need to go within and lick the wound. So, see, your mind doesn't see, only our ego personality cares with how we do something. In other words, if we need to drive to San Francisco and our soul is calling us, you need to get to San Francisco, the soul doesn't care how you get there.
Yeah.
I'm with you. You know, our ego personality goes, oh, I want to go this way, or I want to drive this way, or I want this kind of car, or whatever. So, Your soul, that part of you that's the little kid right now, that wonderful wonder child within you that needs the healing, you can do that at night or on the weekend. You just have to create the space for that part of you to be healed without judgment, and then you'll be able to go out there more easily. I also feel you're not doing what you, I don't know, I, for some reason I feel like you need to do at some point a complete change.
Yes.
From where you're working. Okay. Now, what's going to help you, though, is, again, going into these parts that you need to connect in to unify more. The part that, again, that wants to heal or be outward, you know, be inward, and the one that wants to be outward. You need to call those energies in. Otherwise, you're going to attract the same kind of situation. There's a little persecution part. I feel like there's some persecution energy, that you're being persecuted. But see, even your belief system is saying that I have to like something before I leave is self-persecution.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm.
So once you begin to shift that, you're going to be attracting more and more situations that you feel comfortable in. So I would even do this meditation process for maybe part A is the part that feels that it has to stay in a situation that is unbearable to tough it through, and then the part that wants to be in a situation that is really embracing, and bring those parts together. Because I feel if you do what I'm suggesting, you'll begin to shift out of this situation and get in a place where you feel comfortable. I feel you didn't feel comfortable from the beginning there.
Yes. I've only been here for like 2 months, and I moved into. Well, I moved into like it's a cult actually, and I didn't. It's a really highly revered intentional community, but when I got in here, I realized how controlling and manipulative and not everybody's horrible, and everybody has their stuff, and it's just not the kind of stuff.
Yeah, unfortunately, I've woven in, I don't consider myself a follower, except for learning, so I've been on the path a long time, and I've woven in a lot of cults or spiritual centers or blah, blah, blah. Everybody has their stuff.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, a lot of them don't have the emotional clearing work. They don't have the accountability, and the emotional body is really out of whack. So... yeah, I would say you're on the right track to intentionally skedaddle out of there. Be a weaver, everybody. Be a weaver. Just, it's difficult because, unfortunately, you get a lot when people are not clear or not, even when they are. I mean, you look at family dynamics. A lot of times people, cover for each other. It's that unhealthy group dynamic, so you can't. You can't really speak up. But I feel there's a lot of persecution there. That's something that you need. I feel like there's a lot of persecution shame. I can feel it all around you. I feel like it's been put on you, but also others. Is that the way they keep people in line?
Oh, yes, yes. If you don't do this, you're like a, you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. And
yeah, I'm feeling that, yeah. One thing I want to say, definitely, you know, find a way to move on or to get help. Is there something you could stay with if you moved out?
No, there isn't, and that's why I have to get this extra job and, you know, work really, I have to work really hard, but I'm really hoping to connect with the right thing. So that, and that's a fear of mine. If I don't connect to the right thing, it's just going to be more difficult. And I'm actually starting to work in my field. I'm getting opportunities to work in the field of healing and doing readings and such. And I want to be clear, yes, because that's my life purpose. That's what I'm here to do. But I want to be able to make that transition a clean break. And financially right now, it's just pretty barren. I know it's happening. I'm grateful. Like you couldn't even, maybe you can feel it. So it's happening, but it's just getting that flow to move the cash flow as well so that January 1st, January 15th, I can be gone and done with it.
Yeah. I just put something in the chat on my website, the 5-step emotional clearing process. Mm-hmm. There's a CD. I would check that out on selfandlight.com, but there's also some handouts or some, you know, that you can just download for free that could help you in this situation. I would suggest, even if you've got a room with someone else that is obviously not in that group, because if you have a plan, you'll be able to do that extra job to get you out of there. If you create in your mind, I have a plan, I'm going to just do whatever I need to. See, why I know I'm going over this, you know, again. It's your pattern. It's your relating pattern.
Yes.
It has to do with this deservability and persecution. So I just am seeing that it's going to be easier for you to really flourish if you're out of there and then working on this pattern, because it's reinforcing it over and over the more that you're there.
Oh, okay. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah, unfortunately,
Oh, they just reject me over and over and over again. It's like,
So you're reinforcing the pattern, and it's going to be more difficult. You know, environment does have something to do. It's very difficult to release a pattern when we're in an environment that triggers us, that keeps replaying it. And that's what got you there, is that pattern. So, you know, that, but you see it now. So that is good. You see it. And that is your, and maybe that's what you're going to, you know, I always say, you know, spirit, our soul does not waste a wonderful, you know, situation, so and waste consciousness. So once you get out of this, this is something that down the road you can help others with.
Yeah.
Even if it's not necessarily a cult, but people create their own cult in their mind. So, you know, once you learn how to get through this, you'll be able to really help people get out of, whether it's a physical cult with external people or internal in someone's mind with these beliefs. You know, you'll really help people, and that'll be great. Yeah.
Sure. Well, thank you so very much. You spent so much time with me. I appreciate it a great deal.
You're very, very welcome. And keep us posted. Let me know how you're doing. You can awakeningsradio@selfandlight.com. Just let me know how you're doing. Let me know, okay?
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome, Angie. Bye.
Bye-bye.
So important to our inner knowing, to trust our inner knowing. Oh, Angie, great. So definitely, yeah, let me know how you're doing. I really do care. I want to know. And any of you, all of you, or other things that are helpful, that's interesting, too. We'll probably have more of those kinds of situations coming up as we're moving away from formalized religion into more spiritual groups or spirituality as a focus. So that that will be more of an occurrence perhaps than in the past, even though there has been in the past. And you know, it's so interesting to me. It boils down to the emotional body, and mental too, mental constructs, mental, you know, the belief systems that people have. I mean, even think about it in the Islamic extremists. There's a good example that when you go to heaven, you get, you know, their heaven, you get these, you know, all kinds of girls are there, all kinds of this and that. It's wonderful. So, again, the entrainment, and it's interesting because the Leo Aquarius, for those of you that are astrologers, the Leo Aquarius axis, with Leo being the self-expression, the creative expression, the individuated aspects that we are, how we're individuated beings or individuated aspects of God or the all that is, and the Aquarius being the group, you know, and group awareness and connecting on a group level and helping the group. And the shadow to both of those, the shadow of Leo is one that is self-absorbed and is very narcissistic. It's the, you know, me. It's the archetype of the actor that can't shut up. You know, you've seen it, you know, when they're out of whack, you know, they're the comedian that can't be, it's all, you know, even when they're not working, they're always, you know, you're at a dinner or something and they're cracking jokes and no one else can get a word in edgewise. And Aquarius ruling group, the shadow is conformity, overconformity. So it's the idea to recognize that we are one, that we are this one group, but overemphasis that we are on one and on the group means that you have to conform. You know, you have to, you know, wear what I wear to be cool. You have to, you know, eat what I eat to be spiritual, or follow this person or that doctrine to be spiritual. Or so that within ourselves as well as the collective really needs to be fleshed out, so to speak. You have to be just aware. We have to have an awareness individually as well as collectively that, ooh, is there too much conformity? Are they asking too much of me? Or am I being, you know, is it being too much all about me? You know, if it's all about me, then that's too much. You know, and then we connect in also archetypally with the Scorpio Taurus, which all is about grounding this, Taurus being the material plane, all about grounding that into the earth plane and taking the Scorpio, the energies of looking deeper, looking within, looking into the occult, which is just the occult means the hidden. So how do we live that which seems to be hidden? How do we live the other dimensions that we are? How do we live other dimensionally? How do we recognize this and live this out so that as we're living day to day, every day, you know, supermarket, shopping, whatever, you know, the farmer's market, as we're living this way, you know, going to the gas station with children, doing our daily things, we don't lose sight that we are other dimensional beings, that we do have this occult awareness. You know, how do we do this? You know, that we need to do this continually. We need to, it needs to be a part of us, not just something that we do in classes or once or twice a week. So that's part of the new energies that are coming down are about calling that in. So one of the archetypes that we're going to be connecting with, I wanted to touch upon, and again, if anybody has questions, 347-539-5122, and I will tune in for you, with you. Hey, Dennis. Hey to Dennis in the chat, joining us from the mother country. Is that cosmic mother air energies? You're going to see a real, you know, you've been probably noticing a little by little that there's been a lot more focus on parenting, or, you know, parenting yourself to be a good parent. What is a good parent? There's this kind of recognition. We've been working through the as a societal level. We've been working through the archetypes of parent, what is it to be a parent? What is it to be, what do children need? You're going to see a kind of resurgence of that. It's actually been happening a bit, but you're going to even see more of it, especially as you start kind of looking for it. And this is, in a sense, for a societal clearing, if you will, on what does it mean to be a parent, and how do you become a parent, or how are you a parent, but you're also yourself, that you don't lose track of yourself. Because a lot of times what happens is people become parents, and I'm saying parents with children, parents with, you know, healing practice or a counselor, it doesn't matter. When you're in that parental role, it's important not to forget about you, that you don't lose you. Just like when you get married, you don't want to lose your individuated aspects as well. So we're in a shifting with this where, again, how does one retain themselves, their awareness of themselves and what they need, but also extend out in relationship, whether it's one person, a group, you know, a whole group, a spiritual center, a family, whatever it is. How do you, you know, Debbie's putting that, so easy to lose yourself. Yeah, it is. But not if you connect with your spiritual tool. It is, but you have to have a strong spiritual practice. You know, and sometimes you just got to do the best you can. I mean, sometimes things get really, you know, hectic or very full, but hopefully you have the tools. Just like a caller mentioned before, I said, well, if you're still doing the healing work, you just may not have time to do it days, but maybe only hours. So, you know, it's not so much doing it a lot. Sometimes you can only do it a little bit, you know. But what is actually happening is to get to the level or the layer of the transpersonal where we connect in with our own inner mother, inner father, and heal from that place so that we begin to recognize the limitations of the human experience, the human expression, especially for many of us that our parents did not have, you know, repatterning and emotional clearing work. They didn't have, you know, the emotional body was kind of, you know, even the ones that did old-fashioned therapy, you know, just wasn't the best for really knowing what to do emotionally. And a lot of beliefs passed on. So as you connect in more with the cosmic mother and cosmic father, then you begin to see the mother, father in all situations and in all people, and you begin to not limit it to a human one mother, one father. The more that you can connect in with the cosmic mother, father, you're getting closer to source, because as source extended out into creation vibrationally and then through light, became the feminine principle and the masculine principle. And that is the template of caretaking or taking care of or parentaling, being parented. So the cosmic mother and father, I did a meditation on this a few days ago, and it was just amazing. That's when you need that mothering, you need that nurturing, or you need that fathering. But what I would suggest is not to look for it in one person. Be open to it. And I think children need to be taught this as well. If the children are taught this, and actually in myth and archetypes, it does. You can teach a child this. So there's not that dependency on one person. That's the beginning of codependency. If I don't have this mother, if I don't have this father, these needs are not going to be met. And of course, as you know, as you go on in your growth cycle, you begin to internalize an inner mother and inner father. You know, a lot of it's based on what you experienced externally. As you do your own conscious growth work, your own inner work, you begin to separate out what you don't, you know, what you don't need, or what was false, or is life enhancing, you know, that you got from your mother or your father. You begin to separate that out and create internally within you an inner mother and inner father that supports you. And of course, we have our little child, our family. You know, you have a whole little family inside you, whole different ways of expressing and being that all need to be attended to. And this gets back to Tammy's question of the energy management. You know, so, you know, it's just a way to manage the energy. It's all one source, but it's just different ways of expressing your energy. If I've been working a lot, or someone's, you know, you can think about it for yourself, you're working a lot, maybe that you want to do something silly. You know, we could call it the little child or the little kid, or you want to have some silly energy or fun energy. And this could also be the fool. You want to get in, or you're going to a new level in your life. You know, you want to look around for where is that support? Where is that support for this new level? So if you're taught to look for the cosmic mother and father, you begin to see that through various people in your life, you can have, you know, maybe the little tailor down the street is your cosmic mother or cosmic grandmother. And somehow they provide that nurturing. Because really, it's all coming from one source. It's just coming through these people. What you are going to see is that there is more and more living from the transpersonal or these archetypal energies and even updating these energies, up-leveling these energies. You're going to see more of that happening where we're requiring less from specific individuals and just more in intentionality or recognizing that what I need, what I want, I've expressed on the etheric plane. There's been that urge. There's been that call put out there. And someone will answer that call somewhere. Maybe it's someone in my immediate environment or my immediate family or friends, or maybe not. But as we're decoding this whole idea of this enmeshment that we had from the Piscean age of the self-sacrifice or the persecution, you know, in other words, I had to be a martyr or I had to do it all or I had to do it my way, as we're extending out and really living that, yes, we are all connected. We all are from one source. We're individuated aspects of that. So when I put a call out, someone is going to answer. I can be sure of that. Someone will answer this call. Now, it doesn't matter. I might have a preference of who I would like to answer it. But you're going to find as we are evolving more and more as a species, as more and more of this collective energies, this soul energies, these spiritually infused energies are coming into this experience and expression of this human suit body temple, if you will, body-mind temple, that you're not so worried about the little details. You're not so worried about the exact person, the exact ego personality that shows up. It's just, is the call answered? And it's answered. I see Elmar in the chat now. It's answered now. Yeah, it is answered now. It's answered now when you'll find that more of what you need and want when you're not looking at the specifics, when you're not looking at a specific person. You can have a preference for that person or persons or that situation, but to be open that someone else may hear the call. And the beauty of it also is that that person that's answering the call has a need to answer the call. It's answering something within them. So that moves us out of this whole idea of martyrdom. Or going back to the term that Tammy brought up, the energy management, that we're so overloaded. You know, you keep putting that call out there, whether it's writing it or telling someone, you know, verbalizing it, doing it on the mental realm, emotionally. Hey, this is what I need. This is the vision. Meditating on it, you know. And I call this a conscious meditation where you are, and it's a form of a contemplation meditation, similar to what was suggested with Angie, writing down what it is that you want, what are you needing, and just looking at it, just kind of looking at it and just allowing that to encode in the mind, just looking at what it is that you're needing and wanting and revisiting it every now and then and then putting it to the side and knowing that that or something better will come through. Usually what comes through is what satisfies most parts of you. And this is why when we take it out of the scope of the you know, specific ego personality person or situation, and it might be right, sometimes we get a hit, right? Especially Dennis, right, Kathy, some of the readers in the bunch there, Reiki. Sometimes you do get a hit. You get a Ray Dean, I think, is in the chat as well. You get a hit, you get a knowing, oh, it's going to be this person, or it's going to be this way, or this situation. But then again, not to grasp or hold on to it to say that it has to be that or will be that for sure, because your higher self is restructuring everything energetically in such a way that you're receiving what satisfies parts or most parts. And again, if you're on that path of conscious awareness or becoming more and more awake and more aware, that is a path of evolution. So that evolution is creating and drawing to more situations, more people that are more and more ideal, so that you're getting more and more and more of the ideal. Grand Elf is, and as well, saying it's a very tiny voice that answers. Yes. And sometimes don't you feel that? To me, sometimes it's even an urge or a nudge. It's just like a knowing. I seem to go in a certain direction. I just know that one direction seems warmer, or it's, you know, it's a subtle energy pull or nudge. It's also called that urge, that spiritual urge, where you know you need to go in that. Yeah, Grand Elf, listen to the tiny voice rather than the big voice. Yeah, yeah, the one that's screaming in your ear usually isn't the one. And the one that's saying you should or you have to, you know, it's just, it's, yeah, that's a good point, Grand Elf. Yeah, it's the quiet one, and sometimes it comes through in a feeling in the body, in the gut. Kind of, sometimes for some people, you know, again, that nausea. That's the other thing. I will go back to this because I was thinking sometimes it comes in the gut as nausea. But again, you have to know, is it that, meaning no, or am I being triggered by something and something is being cleared as I'm focusing in this new direction? Because sometimes by going in that new direction, you know, you are at the template of the fool, a leap of faith, a new beginning. You're learning something new. So you may have a sense of trepidation or fear, or can I do this, or just questioning yourself, even doubting yourself. So how to the question is how to support yourself through that. Little light in the chat screen. The screaming voice is usually someone's ego. Yeah. And life can be wonderfully synchronistic if one heeds the small voice regularly. Yeah, Grand Elf just put that in the chat. I think that's important. And I think the key word is regularly. You have to do it on a regular basis. If you do it regularly, then it's that consistency so that you are trusting that language. You know, that's the whole thing. It's that learning the language and trusting it. And the thing is, the language is not, I'm just jotting that down. The language is not always verbal. So it could be, like Kathy's putting in the chat, something that rings true. I feel it rings true. Sometimes you hear the voice, but then it has to ring true. You have to feel it in the body. It will have some sort of congruency. Here's one thing, though, and I'll get you. I open for the phone lines on this one, 347-539-5122, as well as in the chat room. Sometimes it rings true, but also what I have found, if you're looking for an easy answer, easy fit. There's a difference between grace and ease, or this is easy and will solve all my problems. That usually is coming from the ego personality. Because remember, the land of the soul or spirit, there are no problems. They're simply expression. You know, so if something's a promise or a challenge, it's just a form of expression or experience to the soul. It's just more experience, more expression. And spirit is undifferentiated, so it doesn't think. So, but your spiritual energy, your spiritual urge or nudging can get you out of situations. It usually will signal a lot of times that something is not as life enhancing. It can feel and see if something down the road is going to get more complicated. But sometimes we override it with our beliefs, or we override it with what we want to be true. You know, I remember years and years ago a situation, and I had had a vision about a certain situation, and I had a certain feeling about it. But later when I showed up, the feeling and the information that I had received previous flashed, but I overread it. And boy, did it ever play out exactly, even worse. So, you know, it's very possible to draw in or co-create or create something from a lower level expression, from more of the ego personality, especially if you are very psychic and are a very good manifester. You can still do it, but it'll be not as life enhancing. And again, that's why I go back to that energy management, repatterning, clearing work, so that you aren't kind of you know, drawing things to, because if you have a lot of creative energy or co-creative energy, or you're able to draw in, or you really are a good manifester or generator, you can amplify things and generate whatever it is, money, situations, people, if you can generate things to you, in some ways you have to even be more aware, more cautious, because if you're not clear, you will draw in situations that are a lot more complicated and can be scary too. So again, that clarity helps us, you know, that helps us see, not with our, you know, physical eyes, but to see psychically, to see through the subtle energy, what is the most life-enhancing for me and all concern. And grand elf, cats love the show. Oh, love it. I love it. And Light saying this is where love can say love is blind. Yeah, the thing is, it's not that you don't get the message, even in a twinge in the stomach or the gut, you know, or pain in the neck. It's not that we don't get the messages. And sometimes the messages are very slight, because that part of us isn't that developed, or we override it so much. It's not that we're not getting the messages. The messages are there. It's just that we're overriding them somehow, or our belief system is overriding, you know, and that can do that. When we're on the mental plane, we can override it, or our emotions override it, or we can let others' beliefs override it. So very much this connecting into that energy of the cosmic mother, father, to me is really about connecting into your soul path beyond perhaps even what others are saying, you know, connecting in so that you're connecting into that part of you that knows the truth and that wants the most life-enhancing unfoldment for you and those around you. And so when you're connecting into that level, you are living from the soul path. And it just takes a small little bit of redirecting the ego personality, the constructed ego personality, to release those beliefs and those patterns, to repattern, to requalify the energy, recalibrate the energy, so that you are living from the soul template more and more. And in fact, to begin to live that completely, to live from that soul template and to live spirit-led. And we do this by connecting in spiritually, listening to the heart, and letting the brain fall to the heart. Ah, it's wonderful to have connected with all of you today. Let's see, practice will always win the duality between ego and spirit. Yeah, that's a good point, Grandel. It really is about going back to the practice so that you're retraining the ego personality enough that it is an outpicturing of the soul, and that you're no longer living from the constructed ego, the false ego, but you're living as an individuated aspect of the all that is. Ah, you all are so wonderful. Been a wonderful time connecting with all of you and just sharing. Had some great feedback in the chat room, and I thank you all for your questions and comments. And I just hope this Friday is extra special for all of you in this Thanksgiving time. And I share my love, my light, my wisdom with you in gratitude and gratefulness for all that you are, and appreciate each and every one of you, and appreciate the awareness, the wisdom, the love, and the understanding that I receive from all of you. So continue to shine your light, share your insight, and until next time, keep awake. If you'd like to reach Awakenings, you can email at awakeningsradio@selfandlight.com. Reach us on Facebook at Awakenings Radio.